If you have the word of the Lord with you this morning, if you would turn to Psalms 91, and last time, I think it was last week when we spoke upon the life, went into somewhat of the life of David. And I'm sure we can relate to a lot of things that went on in David's life. Psalms 91. And I just want to go back this morning because I think it's very important in our lives that we see how strong and how David trusted in the Lord. You know, sometimes we go through a lot of things in life, all the things that would come against us in life, and we just sometimes you hear people say, well, I'm just ready to give up. But, you know, David, a great man of God, and he says that David was a man after God's own heart. I hope this morning I'm a man after God's own heart, too. And I hope and pray that you think the same thing, that God is, knowing that God is with you and we are the children of God. And so in that, we should be trusting in the only one who can help us in all the things that we have to go through in life. We are to be trusting in Him enough that we know that God is going to give us grace to go through whatever we have to go through, and He's going to deliver us from the things that would come against us. Now, the many things that we say, well, I went through this, I went through that, and God didn't deliver me, but I'm telling you this morning that God does make it easier on us, because a lot of times, if you don't have God's grace in your life and God doesn't deliver you from the hardship that we and make it easier on us, He says that He will send the comforter, and the comforter will comfort us. So that makes it easier, doesn't it, to go through things. God makes it easier. But we sometimes think, oh, I don't know if I can just if I can go through that or if I can stand it. Well, God will give us grace. He says He'll not put more up on us than we can stand. So if God says it, why don't we believe it? You know, every day of my life, I'm learning to trust in the Lord more. And I think it's a learning process that we go through this life, that we trust more and more in the Lord. You know, I have a lot of friends, and I have people who love me. I know that you love me, and I know that you pray for us, and I pray for y'all, and that's good. The Lord says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. I believe it's a commandment that we pray for one another. I believe it's a commandment that we love one another. It's a commandment of God that we love one another. But you know, the great commandment is to love thy Lord thy God with all of thy heart. With all of thy heart, and to trust in Him with all of thy heart and all of thy might, to serve Him with all the power that He has given us. And it's not impossible to do that. We just sometimes, you know, people quench the Spirit. And that the Lord warns us. He says, quench not the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that we have in our life to know the joy of the Lord. I'll ask the question this morning, did you know the Lord? Did you know the joy of the Lord before you was born again of the Spirit of God? I don't believe so. You may have a head knowledge of God, but until you're born again of the Spirit of God, you can't really enjoy the joy of the Lord. Enjoy the joy of your salvation. To know that God has loved you and saved you by His grace. Oh, yes, we're delivered from many things and many trials in this life. You don't know what you was delivered from this morning on your way here. There might have been an accident right in front of you or something. How do you, you know, and God delivered you. I remember one time we were out in California. I'd been out there holding a meeting, and we were just going down the road, and All at once, just a car in front of us, some lady just, I don't know what happened, but she lost control and she hit a big concrete barrier and turned upside down. And I said it was a car in front of us, two cars in front of us. Well, the car that was behind her hit her, and of course we had time to stop. But I, you know, if God hadn't have been in the midst and hadn't have protected us, I could have been the car up there that was in the accident. But by the grace of God, I was three cars back, so God delivered us, I believe, from that. And so God delivers us. I'm just making this as a point this morning, how God delivers us from many things through everyday life that we don't have to go through. You probably don't know it. You probably don't know what God delivers us from. And sometimes God lets us know what he delivers us from. And many times, you know, when we hit the floor every day, when God allows us to rise and see the beauty of another day, the first thing we should do is thank God that he has delivered us through the night and allowed us to wake and see the beauty of another day. When we lay down at night, we should thank God. God, thank you for your grace and deliverance through this day. And I thank you for this day, my daily bread. I thank you, Lord, for all that I have. We need to thank God for what we have. So as David proclaims so greatly about the Lord, and you read the book of Psalms, which is probably one of my most favorite people in the Word of God, is the psalmist David, because I find so many times when I'm kind of cast down, I can go to the book of Psalms and I'm lifted up through the Word of God and those words that David spoke and those things that David lived, and I'm raised up and I'm thankful to the Lord to be able to read God's Word and that it's proclaimed to me that God is with me and He is on my side. He is with me and he has delivered me from these things and that thing, whatever would come against me, and those things that even come against me, God is with me and will give me grace and strength to go through them. You know, I'm standing before you this morning by the grace of God. David said, or Paul said, that I am what I am by the grace of God. If there's any good in me, it's by the grace of God. If there's any good, of course, all things spiritual from God is good. And I'm thankful to know that this morning. I'm thankful to know that heaven and more are glory, that I've been delivered from the evil things that would destroy me upon this earth. And that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And heaven and immortal glory will be my home. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, sometimes when the devil gets in my life, and the devil gets in all of us' life, I don't care who you are, and he'll try to make you think that you're not a child of God, that, you know, why would the Lord allow this to come up on you, and why would God allow that to come up on you? But I'm telling you this morning, if you're a child of God, he has delivered you and he will give you grace to go through those things. So this morning we are to be thankful to God for his deliverance and his grace in our lives. In Psalms 91, you know, they say over in the, I'm not sure where it's at in the Word of God, he says, cast down. Well, we sang the song too, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down but not destroyed. You see, God's deliverance and God's grace is still in our life. Oh, we may be cast down sometimes, but we're not destroyed. And our candle, our little light that's within us, it may grow dim sometimes, but child of God, it never goes out. It's always lit. And so we know that God is with us. David proclaims in Psalms 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the Almighty in the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, God is watching over us. God is caring for us. God is taking care of us. You know, as I think about it, God has a hand in taking care of even the wicked in things. They just don't know where it comes from. I'll put it that way. It says the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. God, even the wicked, he allows them to live. He allows them to live in this world. But they just don't know where, if their food comes from. They're not thankful for what they have. They don't know. They're not thinking about where the rain comes from. They're not thinking about where the good things that they have come from. We know where it comes from, don't we? We know who it comes from. And we thank God for it, or we should thank God for it. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is watching over us under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my refuge. I don't have any other refuge that I can run to. I don't have any. I can take my complaints to someone, but I'll guarantee you, you can't solve my problems. God is the solver of problems. I can take my complaint to God. And if you have help in solving problems, it is God that helps us to solve problems that goes on in each other's lives. God gives us a brain. He gives us a mind. He gives us the spiritual things to think things about. And sometimes, don't we? We get way off base sometimes when we just go out and do things on our own. And I guarantee you, when you go out and do that without praying about it, thanking God, or even asking God to help you in the things of life, you're going to get in trouble. I know some people right now though who are in a lot of trouble because they do things on a wimp and go on and they've got problems because they don't have the Lord in their life. They don't have God in their life. They never prayed about it. They never asked God for his help. And when you don't do that, then you're going to have problems. Man has messed up everything that he's ever touched without God in the midst. When you go off and do things on your own without prayerfully seeking God's help and the answer from God, you know you're going to have a problem. That reminds me, I've traveled all over the country preaching the Word of God, and I've had quite a few other churches who have called me to come and pastor them. But, every time I said, well, maybe this is God's will that I leave here and go someplace else. But, when God closed the door, that's enough for me. When the Lord says, you're not to go there, you're to stay where you're at. Well, I've been here at Mount Zion ever since the church has existed. And if that's all right with me, if I stay here the rest of my life. If it's not in God's will, this is where I want to be. I'm happy here at Mount Zion. But if God wants to move me someplace else, I would love Mount Zion forever and ever. But if he wanted to move me someplace else, then I would go. I would go. We would pack up. I never will forget one time we was down, we've been going to the association for many years down the eastern part of Kentucky. Well, all at once, I'm at work one day and Barbara calls me and crying and all upset. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, well, one of them churches down there is called and they want you to come pastor it. I said, well, that don't mean I'm going. She says, oh, I sure hope not. Says, you can't even see the sunshine till noon down there because of the mountains. And those folks down there, they are just as sweet as they can be. But after about 3 or 4 weeks, we had really prayed about it, and Barbara was praying that we wouldn't go, and I was praying it'd be the Lord's will that we would go. But the Lord closed the door. And so that was that. I'm happy. I was happy that the Lord closed the door. So God, he delivers us from many things in life. Because I'm going to tell you something. If a preacher goes someplace that the Lord hasn't called him, he can make the church miserable and he can be miserable. You can be most merciful. One time I was out in New Mexico when we was up in Four Corners at the Primitive Baptist Church up there, and this brother, he was from down Mississippi. I forget what his name was, but he had went up there, and he was pastoring this church. He'd been up there for about 6 months, and he said, Brother Roger, I've made the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. I said, why? He said, I don't think this is the place for me to be. Of course, listen, that's, you're talking about country. Now, that's up in the mountains, and I'm talking about you can't see the sun till midday there. Because, and it was a little bitty town, and he was so unhappy and dissatisfied, and he said, as soon as my year is up here, I'm going back to Mississippi. And so I'll not say nothing about Mississippi, but I like Indiana, and I wouldn't want to be out in the church at Albuquerque called me to come pastor them. And I prayed about that, but the Lord closed the door. So the Lord delivers us from things, but we have to seek God's answer in these things. We have to seek the Lord to lead and guide and direct us in our lives. You just don't do things on your own. Put God in your life. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you put God in your life, He'll give you the right answer. God does not make mistakes. He'll deliver you to the good that would be so you could be happy in your life. Because if you don't seek God in your life, you're going to be unhappy. You're going to be the most miserable person. You might think you're happy. Oh, when I was out in the world doing this and that and running around and doing things I shouldn't be doing, I thought I was happy. But I wasn't really. I knew I was miserable, and sometimes I think I was happy, and then I'd be most miserable. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord came into my life, when the Lord changed me, I'm happy. Even sometimes I get cast down, I'm happy. But you know why I'm happy? Because the Lord delivers me from the evil things that comes against me. He delivers me and wants us to be happy. He don't want us to go through life miserable. So we need to think about that. We need to think about that. To me, the Lord is the most important thing in my life. I love my wife and love my family, but the Lord comes first in my life. The Lord is first on the agenda in my life. And when we do that, you're gonna have a good life. I'm not saying you're going to have a perfect life, but you're going to have a good life. He said, perfect love casteth out all fear. Perfect love casteth out a lot of your troubles in life. Surely, listen to what the psalmist David says. He said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Nobody else. David says, nobody else I'm going to trust in. Here's a great man of God who was king, one of the most well-known kings in the Word of God, a great man of God. He says, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to put my life in His hands. Of course, it's in His hands anyway. But we think, you know, sometimes we get the big idea that we're smarter than God. You know, we can do things that God don't know nothing about. We can do things that, you know, and it'll be all right, but that's not the way it is. God is in control, and He is in complete control of everything that goes on in this world. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, but He wouldn't be God if He wasn't. He would. If God is not in complete control, then we're in bad, bad shape. We're in destitute circumstances. I'm telling you this morning, if God is not in control. But I believe that He is. All this stuff that's going on in the world, oh, I'm concerned about it, but I'm not worrying myself to death about it because God is in control of it. Somebody asked me, said, well, what if these Muslims come over here and start killing us? I said, well, if that happens, God's in control. They said, well, God don't allow things like that to happen. I said, yes, God does. I said, what would be more fruitful for us to stay here on earth and live in under a torment and misery of these people who have control of that part of the world over there, or to go on with the Lord, be in heaven in immortal glory, be happy forevermore. I'd rather go on to be of the Lord and to be happy forevermore. David says, surely he shall deliver. Here's the word deliver. Thee from the snares of the fowler, the snares of the devil, the snares of the world. The Lord delivers us time and time again. Time and time again, every day of our life. The Lord delivers us from the evil that would come against us. And from the noosed palaces, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy shield and bunker. You know, you take a mother hen, and that's just kind of the way he's trying to exclaim this is, you take an old mother hen, and I'm sure that most of you that knows about an old mother hen, she'll peck the dickens out of you if you get around her little chickens. She covers, them little chickens are protected under her feathers, and she will not let anything harm them. Well, that's the way God is. That's the way God is. If we're trusting in the Lord, if we're underneath his everlasting arms, he says over in Jeremiah. Underneath are his everlasting arms. Oh, yes, we may go through a lot of things in life. We may be downtrodden many times in our lives. But God, our deliverance, God is our rescuer from danger. And God will protect us from things that comes against us. David proclaims, the eternal God is my refuge. The eternal God is my refuge. And you know what eternal means? It means it has no beginning and no end. We have a beginning and we have an end here on this earth. But in the mind of God, we had no beginning, because we were in the mind of God even before the foundation of the world. God had us in mind and in heart. And we have no end in God's mind, because we're going to live eternally like God. When we get to heaven, we'll live eternally. We're underneath his everlasting arms, or underneath us, his love, his power he gives to us. In his life, and he knows, we know God because he knows us. We love God because he first loved us. You know, you couldn't love God unless he first loved us. A lot of people in this world have a head knowledge of God. They know, they hear about God, they know about God maybe, but they are not in God's love. You know, people say God loves everybody. Well, if he loves everybody, then everybody's going to heaven. If he loved everybody, because he's not going to lose one. The Bible says he has not lost one. But God, in his predestination, delivered us to him, brought us to him, and he has known us before the foundation of the world in his love, eternal love. Now, I know people don't believe in predestination, but the Word of God mentions it. It teaches it over and over again, predestination. If God knows everything, that's predetermined. Predestination means predetermined before the foundation of the world. All right, as we go on here, we see his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror of the night. Perfect love, again, perfect love casteth out all fear. The love of God casteth out all fear. You know, I used to just think about death, and it would scare me to death just about it. But since I know the Lord and know where my home's going to be, this is not our home. The Lord says we're just passing through this old weary world. We're foreigners and strangers in this old weary world. So he says, I say that to you that fear of those things that comes against us, we're not to fear them because God is in control. He is protecting us. He is delivering us from these things that would come against us. So, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And the arrow that flieth by day, that's the devil. And the devil, we are to flee from the devil. We are to get away from those things. You know, some people say, well, why don't you take a part in this? Why don't you take a part in that? If it's not godly, I don't want to take a part of it, because I do things ignorantly every day of my life that I know that that's going to harm me. When you get mad, when you get angry, that's harmful. That's harmful to you because you're not in the spirit of the Lord when you get angry and all upset and let the devil come into your heart and cause you all the misery in your life. God says we are to love. That is the main theme of God. God is love. Not love is God, but God is love. There's a lot of love. He says that the lust of the flesh, that's sin. But we love, probably in one time of our life, we loved the lust of our flesh, didn't we? We wanted to satisfy the flesh more than we do God. But that's a sin, and it causes us harm. So we are to take God's word, and we're to live by God's word because it is powerful and it is strong. And I just want to go back a little bit and read over here in Psalms 88. David proclaiming, he knows who God is, and we know who God is. He says in Psalms 88, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayers come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. God is never, he has never not heard us when we cry out to him. He always hears us. But sometimes we feel like when we cry out so long that God is not hearing us, but he hears us. But sometimes he leaves us in that state that we're in to know, and we come to know that he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that without him we are, of all men, most miserable. Without God, when he withdraws the joy of his salvation from us, the joy, it's not his fault, but it's our fault that we lose the joy of our salvation. I want to enjoy the joy of my salvation. I want to tell the whole Edomic world how much I love God. I'm not ashamed of God. It's a pleasure to me to tell people about the Lord. And I preach every day. I preach every day to different people. You know, I tell them about the Lord. I preach at home every day. Because I want our family to know how I feel. I wished I could tell it like I feel it. It's impossible to tell it like you really feel it in your heart, isn't it? I know I have to cry out to the Lord many times a day. I have to cry out to the Lord and thank him for his mercy, his goodness, and his kindness to me and my family and the church. I had to cry out to the Lord to have mercy upon me, a sinner and wretch that I am, to forgive me of my sins. I have to, you know, we say the Lord says to repent daily. I have to repent hourly sometimes because I know what I am in this old fleshly body. But there's something that lives within me that cries out to God, that makes me to cry out to God. The Holy Spirit makes us to know, Lord, and makes us to have joy in our heart and to love one another. Oh, it's easy to say oh, I love you. But to really mean it, to mean it in the spiritual manner, to mean it in the godly manner, you know, there's a spiritual love and there's a natural love. The spiritual love is from God. Well, the natural love is too, but the spiritual love is a strong love. It is a powerful love because it is of God. He says, let my prayers come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Oh, isn't it good when we go and feel the essence of the Lord in our prayers and our life, and we go to our prayer closet and just get alone with the Lord and feel the essence of God, to feel His mercy and His goodness upon us as we go through this whole weary world. You can't get through this world, without the Lord in your life. You can't be happy in your life without the Lord in your life. It's the essence of love in our lives, in a child of God's life. It is the very matter that we live by. It's the love of God. For my soul is full of trouble. You see, here's a great man of God. He said, my soul is full of trouble. Our souls get full of trouble sometimes, doesn't it? When our children, they're maybe out in the world doing things that they ought not to do. I remember my mom and dad crying and begging me to do God's will in my life. I didn't know God. Didn't care anything about doing. I love my mom and dad, but I remember them crying and begging me to come out of the world. But I really couldn't do that until the Lord touched me. And I was 28 years old. But I look back on that time and I repent of that daily because of the trouble that I put my parents through, the misery that they went through in their life. Oh God, forgive us for those things that we put our parents through. We all do that. I don't know any perfect people, any perfect children. And we're going to go through those times. Now I got a little brother, and my mom and dad, you say, well, Danny, my little brother, he didn't give me a bit of problem. He was called to preach when he was 15 years old. But I get to talking to Danny, and he said, oh, yeah, I did too. He said they just didn't know about it. So sometimes we want to hide these things from our parents, don't we? We wanted to hide them, and but, you know, parents is not, they know. They know what we're up to when we're growing up in life. They know what we're doing pretty well. He says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Listen, when the devil can come into our life and take the strength out of us where we can't have the joy in our life, the joy of having conversations with God. I'm talking about us quenching the spirit and letting the devil take our lives over. You know, I don't think we completely get in that situation if you know God, but sometimes God don't like what we do. You know, it's not sometimes, it's probably every day in our life. We do things that not pleasing to God. And when we do things that are not pleasing to God, God has to remind us. And when we've fallen so far down, like the psalmist David here, we've got to be rescued. We got to be delivered. And only God can do that. Well, I know my brothers and sisters in Christ, they pray for me, and I appreciate all the prayers. I appreciate all the love of my brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's only one who can deliver me from myself and from the things of the world. And that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I look to Him for His deliverance. I look to Him for the joy and the essence of happiness in this life, because there's no other life. There's no that life that I left behind. You know, as I look back to see what I could see in my life, it was nothing but darkness and pain. As I look forward to see what I can see in my life, I see joy. I see the love of God. I see the joy of being in the presence of a great and almighty God. And there's nothing in this world that's any better or any more perfect than the presence of being underneath the everlasting arms of God. Being in His presence is the most pleasant, most powerful thing that we can have while we live upon this earth. Oh, I pray, God, that I can be there. I pray, God, that you can be there in the essence of God's love. To know the purity of a great God. To know of His love and how great it is. And to wallow in His love. Isn't it wonderful when we're in that state of a mind? That's perfect in the sense of when you're in that state of mind to know God and to be able to go to Him and to talk to Him personally, that's a wonderful place to be. That is a pleasant place to be. That is a great place to be. God rescues us. God delivers us from things in our lives that will come against us and destroy us. So this morning I hope and pray that what I have said might be of comfort to God's people. He says, comfort ye, my people. So that's what the preacher here is to do, to comfort God's people. And we comfort him, we comfort you through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit that's within you. You are comforted by the preaching of the Word of God. This is God's Word. God doesn't come down and speak audibly anymore like He used to. But this is God's Word. This is how He speaks to us in this old weary world. Wouldn't you rather be happy in the Lord than to be out in the world and have all that misery? I'd rather be happy in the Lord. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. Does someone have a song? Number one, let us stand and sing number one.